You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national. We are covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, yes, we are solid conservative and just plain right. Well, it is, Boomer, it is that day of the week. Play it.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is. Guess what day it is. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Yes.
Let me jump over to my comments though. As we are sitting here on hump day, listen, the election results they're almost in. Never mind, it took less time for manned space flight to circumnavigate the moon than it does to get official results from some of our state elections. But for the most part, we can see what we can see. The Republicans will take a bare majority into Congress, it appears, and with that comes some much-needed changes. Also, inexplicably, the 2024 election season has already kicked off with the major announcement that surprised no one that President Trump is going to seek the nomination for the Republican candidacy for the highest office in the land. But now comes the hard part. Over the next 2 years, it's going to be a constant barrage of electioneering again. All of the messaging about what could be, should be, would be, if only certain candidates can get into office to change the world. Meanwhile, the House is going to be in Republican hands, but will they do as promised and bring accountability? Will they work to defund runaway spending? Will they work to derail plans to hire 87,000 new IRS agents? Will they demand changes at the border? Will they address energy independence? All of that and more. But here's why that's hard. Because, you see, here's the thing. The House GOP majority has to produce results or, this is key, or they have to convince you that it wasn't really the plan you thought it was. The House majority is going to be slim. I mean, it needs to be effective for the next 2 years to maintain the majority in the next round of elections. It also, though, needs to be in sync with whomever is running on the GOP ticket in order to give that candidate the props they need about getting rid of Biden and doing the things that are opposite to the liberal progressive policies. So if they're not capable, the House, or at least not successful, then the full-on spin machine goes into high gear so they can try to convince you that what you saw them promise, what you heard them commit to, that it's not really what you've seen and heard. It'll be up to the armies of conservatives out there who helped them to eke out that simple majority to then hold out for accountability on the promises that they made and to understand the systems in which they operate. It will also be up to us to have a distinct recall of what we've seen and heard and for us to stand on it. Why? Because the principles of conservatism are the standards, and the people that believe in those principles will have to call for accountability. That's what's going to have to happen. And it does not matter what your training or education is. There's no such thing as a movement without the grassroots, and there's no such thing as grassroots without people, everyday folks like you and me. So let me illustrate my point here for a minute. I'm going to refer to one of my favorite stories in the book of Acts. Now, it doesn't matter whether you believe the Bible is the Word of God like I do. There's no arguing, even if you don't believe in the Bible as being a biblical or a Word of God aspect, there's no arguing, though, that it does remain valid for its historicity. I mean, in other words, it can be used as a historical record. It's a series of stories about a time over 2,000 years ago. So whether you believe in God or not, you need to know that one of the first ever recorded grassroots movements that brought accountability to the establishment of its time was the early church. Now, there's two parts of the story I want to key in on. So here's the story. In Acts 3, the new church was growing like wildfire, and the establishment, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were apoplectic. They thought they were done with this whole Jesus movement thing, and yet here it was sweeping through their comfortable do-nothing power structure. We're told in Acts chapter 3 that Peter and John were on the way to the temple, and they stopped to heal a man who had been crippled since birth, and the news that the crippled beggar was now upright and walking, it just swept through town like a fast-blowing wind. So what did the establishment do? Did they celebrate the fact that the good old boy could now dance? No. They had Peter and John arrested and held overnight in jail. And the next day, they brought them in before the high council filled up with puffed-up establishment leaders to be chastised and perhaps punished. It was demanded that they tell how they had healed that man. It was demanded they stop preaching Jesus, and that's when it happened. In Acts chapter 4, we're told that Peter stood up and he became a commanding presence in the room. He began to tell them how it was. He told them what had happened and why. He told them in no uncertain terms that the crippled man, who was standing right there with him, that the crippled man was healed by the power of Jesus, who the establishment had firmly rejected. Here's the first part that I want you to get. You ready for this? In Acts chapter 4, 13, it says, when they, that's the establishment guys, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled and ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note these men had been with Jesus. So here's the deal. Point number one is that that first grassroots movement, really any grassroots movement, that the growing of a cause, just a few chapters before we're told was growing by thousands by the day, that that grassroots movement was being led by men who had no formal training. They did have the courage of their convictions and the power of their experiences. And that's a huge deal. It's a great point. It's something that I hope is sinking in as we're talking right now. You are not required to have any formal training to make a difference or to start a grassroots movement. But the next point is just as key. You see, the establishment Pharisees and Sadducees, they didn't know what to do. They knew it was going to cause a ruckus in the streets if they tried to punish Peter and John. But they couldn't deny the lame man could now walk. And so they sent him out of the room. They went into executive session. They came up with what has to be the lamest solution ever attempted by any group of so-called leaders. They talked among themselves, and they called Peter and John back in the room, and they told them, here's the thing. You can't teach or preach about Jesus anymore. That's it. That's it. That was their plan. Woohoo! So, like, cold stop. Now, just go on your way and be good little commoners and stop making waves. Well, it kind of got funny then. So like a scene from Braveheart or Gladiator or something, Peter and John just stared them down. In my mind's eye, I could see a couple of men, Peter and John, who were hardened by their times. They were lean. They were a bit gruff. They had calloused hands that came from hard work. And I imagine that Peter and John knew they had won already, but that hearing this so-called solution from the establishment, just telling them, stop believing that, stop teaching that, well, it had to bring a sense of pitiful amusement. And it quickly turned into one of those, well, let me tell you how it's going to be moments. You see, what happened is my next main point. The first point was you don't have to have any special training. And then in Acts chapter 4, it says Peter and John essentially said, and I'm paraphrasing here, they said, you guys can say whatever you want. But then here's the kicker. In verse, I think it was 18, they ended by saying, for we cannot help speaking what we've seen and heard. Well, after that, the council didn't know what to do. Cannot help speaking what we've seen and heard. See, that's so important. The first point of the story was to reinforce that every one of us, no matter how much or how little we've been trained or educated or how common we are, we can be effective at bringing about change. The second part is this, though. Just tell your story. Just tell what you've seen and heard. Just tell what's in your heart. Just tell what you care about. Just tell them why it matters to you, and then remind them that you know that they know. The Bible's full of great stories. And one of those great stories is about how grassroots movements can get started by normal folks doing abnormal things. Just being who they are, just standing on what they believe and telling what they've seen and heard. It can change the whole world. And that's a wrap for the Rap Side, Right Side Way. Well, there you have it. And again, what a great story. I would dare say that one of the first ever grassroots movements fully documented was the early church. And to hear that the establishment, once again, the establishment was sitting there saying, here's how it's going to be. And the grassroots just said, you know what? We don't have any special training, and we're just common folks. But we know what we've seen and heard. So by God, no. That's where it's got to be. Next 2 years are going to be key, y'all. Next 2 years are going to be key. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right. Hey, the text lines are open. If you want to call in, we'll take that too. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. I already got a few text messages. Appreciate some of the comments. JT from Lacey Springs, Jeremy from Huntsville. And I'm looking down the string there. Anyway, appreciate all of y'all. Call in or text 833-687-4448. I'm going to be curious today to hear what your thoughts are about the fact that President Trump announced his re-election bid. I mean, everybody kind of knew it was coming. There was always that chance that he might not, but, you know, until you see it, who knows? But all that to say, he did as expected. He announced that he is running for a re-election bid. It has been met with mixed reviews, let's put it that way. There are some conservative sites that are punditing right now that they want him gone. They just think we could do better, in their words. And then there are others that are saying, here we go, we're on the roll. You know, it depends on who you talk to. And I know it's got to be the same in this audience. Based on some of the comments I've seen in recent days, I would figure some of y'all are the same way. There's going to be it's going to be interesting. You know, the thing that I want to see happen, but what the Democrats won't let happen, I know, is this election has got to be about policies. Because if we can keep driving home how bad the Democrat policies are and what we will do in the alternative, like literally provide a plan, not just a, well, they're bad, and they're bad, and oh, by the way, they're bad. We can't campaign like that. Like, that was one of the most... That was one of the things that cost us in the midterm elections, in my opinion, was there was no organized agenda to rally people to the cause. We've got to be out there in a unified effort, like across the board. Here's what we're going to do. Here's why it matters. Here's how it will affect you. Here's how it will help your kitchen table. But at the same time, what I don't want to see happen, but you know is already going to happen, is a lot of the election season is going to be about Trump. It's just, they're going to make it about the man, because if they can, it's what they did with Brett Kavanaugh. It's what they do with Warren Moore. It's what they did with who else? I'm trying to think. They tried it with Amy Coney Barrett. Didn't go very far. But the reality is this: Democrats will constantly, because they know they lose on the issues if people really pay attention. Democrats will constantly berate the person, try to tear down the person. That's what they do. They want to polarize the person so that the person then becomes, you know, unsustainable in the eyes of the voters. And then they'll work their side issues too, like can we declare another pandemic so we can mail out more ballots and then have election month or maybe election quarter? Why not election quarter? Let's just what do you say, Boomer? Half the year, quarter of the year.
Let's make it a little longer.
Why not? Yeah. Just election quarter now.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Well, some states have been voting for a quarter. I mean, was it Arizona? Been voting since August? Yeah. I mean, you just look at it and go, come on.
Somebody was talking to me today about, man, it's 2022 and we can't get a correct count on the ballots the first time.
Yeah, I mean, like how hard is this?
Like, come on, 2022, guys.
you can literally, if you had to, you could literally go online right now and pull up your own tax records from 10 years ago and calculate your taxable base. And, oh, by the way, Put a man on the moon. And then, you know, I don't know what else. And all the things you could do before Arizona can get its votes done.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Florida got it down.
Build a deck on the back of your house. Yeah. You know, just stuff.
Just stuff.
All the things you can do before Arizona can get the votes done.
Man.
I know.
And that's what I told him. I said, I don't have anything to tell you. I mean, I understand. I get the frustration.
It's just, yeah, it's next level. But anyway, that's the thing. So as we're moving forward right now, we're going to talk about it here in a few minutes. First section of the Dippers is MAGA Maybe. All right. So is it, but here's the thing. Let's don't, somehow the Democrats have made MAGA into a four-letter word. They've made MAGA is an acronym. Thank you very much. It is not a word. You can't say they're a bunch of MAGA Republicans. MAGA stands for Make America Great Again. Remember that? There's a reason. And I've got one article that refers to Trump and all of the other MAGA Republicans that will be in the primaries. I'm like, wait a minute. That's Trump's campaign slogan. and it's an acronym. It stands for Make America Great. Which part about making America great again don't you like? Yeah. And I think they ought to do that. I think they ought to quit referring to it. Republicans need to stop saying MAGA themselves and just say Make America Great Again. And when someone says, bunch of mega MAGAs, say, just ask them, which part of Making America Great Again don't you like? That's where I would, that's the first counter. You know, sometimes it's funnier to counter somebody's point with a question because then it puts them on the spot. So, yeah, which part of Making America Great Again don't you like? Just asking for a friend. Just saying. All right. Hey, we're about to head to the break. Boomer, how did we do on the downloads for the podcast? Do we know yet?
Oh yeah, we're at 98. Or sorry, not what? 90. Sorry, my bad. I know you got really excited. 94.8.
We should be over 95 by now.
Let's look.
You look during the break. We'll figure it out. All right, folks. Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.